My name is Henry Lisansky. I want to thank you all for coming, definitely, and I'll thank you for doing what you do every day. The D.C. Department of Corrections began its condom distribution program a little after KG. They preceded us by a few years. We began our program in 1994. And I want to just give you a little background first on the D.C. Department of Corrections, just so you'll get the context of how we're delivering healthcare services overall in the district. We began to implement a model, the community-oriented correctional healthcare model, in 2006, and that coincided with a couple of things, and that was that the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation really selected the District of Columbia, although they didn't specifically provide any funds to do it, but they did establish an organization in Oakland, California, to provide technical assistance to correctional facilities, specifically jails, to export and expand a model that had started in Massachusetts in 1992, and the district was selected as the first urban jurisdiction to develop its own version of the community-oriented correctional health care model. And we have been elaborating on that since 2006, and one of the first things that we did as part of expanding that model was to establish our automatic HIV testing program, which I'm going to give you some additional details on. That began officially on June 1st, 2006. Prior to that, the District of Columbia Department of Corrections had been providing HIV testing on a voluntary basis by request of the offender. I just wanted to mention that as part of the COACHIS model, it really, we dub it as having the five fingers of the COACHIS model, which is the early detection and assessment, prompt and effective treatment at a community standard of care, also enveloped, as you all know since you do it every day, the Estelle versus Gamble 1976 Supreme Court requirement that under a deliberate indifference standard that offenders incarcerated is the only group of people in the United States of America with a constitutional right to health care. In addition to that, and the context of under which our entire STD testing and treatment occurs is the prevention and health education are both key elements of the COACHIS model. And last but certainly not least, and certainly in the way DC has been doing discharge planning, for which we've received a national award from the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare for it, is a fairly elaborate discharge planning process that begins at intake and continues even after, through and after inmates are released from the Department of Corrections. By way just of just who we are, we have two facilities in DC. We have a average daily population of around 3,100. We have a incarcerated population that's 90% male and 10% female and 88% African American. We also house juveniles who are being charged as adults, and we have at any one time we have between two dozen, 25 to 35. Our average is 27, as you can know. In terms of our activity, we are certainly not atypical of any jail. We have a fairly rapid turnover on an annual basis. We have approximately 18,000 intakes and releases. The FY09 numbers, which we posted recently, are about that. The intakes were 17,925. And the releases were 17,849. So those numbers have remained fairly stable. And in fact, our overall ADP has declined over the last 3 years by about 600. We were at about 3,600, and now we're averaging, as I said, about 3,000 to 3,100. And again, typically for a lot of jails, we have over two-thirds of our inmates are leaving the building within 31 to 90 days. Our provider is a nonprofit community health provider, actually the largest community health provider for the undeserved in the District of Columbia. They became our contractor in 2006. We had contracted healthcare services prior to that, and during a sort of a low period in the Department of Corrections from 1995 to 2000, we were under a receivership, federal receivership. You've heard a lot of conversation, and properly so, here and throughout the conference yesterday and again today, about partnerships, and the D.C. Department of Corrections has quite a panoply of partnerships, both sister agencies in the district, particularly the Department of Health, and under the Department of Health, particularly what was the HIV/AIDS Administration, now redubbed the HIV/AIDS, Hepatitis, STD, and Tuberculosis Administration under Dr. Shannon Hader. We have numerous external partners, both community partners and organizations, community organizations in the city, which are very, very crucial to us being able to implement our continuity of care model through our discharge planning process. One of the distinguishing things in the D.C. Department of Corrections is how we conduct our entire intake screening process. And we perform about 17 or 18 different medical tests and procedures upon intake into the Department of Corrections, inclusive of our automatic HIV testing and inclusive of our syphilis and urine-based gonorrhea and chlamydia testing, which I have some data I'm going to share with you on that, as well as pregnancy testing. We have quite an elaborated mental health assessment, actually a two-stage mental health assessment. We far exceed the ACA and NCCHC standards, although we're accredited, fully accredited by both organizations in that. We are doing our screening, the full screening, at least the initial screening on intake within 4 hours, and our comprehensive screening for those that are actually refer to a comprehensive screening based on the answer to a series of 18 questions. Any yes answer gets you a immediate referral to a mental health provider for further questioning and further analysis. We also, at the receiving and discharge, which is downstairs when you first come into the building, we have our chest x-rays are performed there, and we are maintaining our current policy of performing a chest x-ray for TB on every intake that comes in, obviously, with the exception of pregnant females, quite obviously, and those who have had a documented chest x-ray within the last 6 months. We currently don't actually do a formal substance abuse screening with any kind of an instrument, but we do have, among the questions that I mentioned on the intake screening form, we do have questions related to substance abuse. I'm sure many of you know that the D.C. Department of Corrections has an electronic medical record and has had one since 1998, so we were one of the very first jurisdictions that implemented a electronic medical record, and we use the GE Centricity as our system. I mentioned the implementation at the behest of Director Brown, and it was at the behest of Director Brown, who said soon after he came in as agency director, really returned to D.C., that he wanted to have automatic HIV screening as part of the intake process. And we, as I said, have been doing that since June 1st of 2006. Since that time, we've performed over 40,000 HIV tests, and we are the largest single testing site in the District of Columbia. And as reported by DOH in terms of documented HIV tests in the district, we have performed about a third of all the tests performed or have been performed in the DC Department of Corrections. The slide here, we do a snapshot periodically. We try to do it every quarter, a one-day snapshot. This snapshot reflects August 20, 2009, where we had 202 HIV-positive inmates in our population of 3147 at that time. And that remains relatively stable, about 200 on any given day. I'm not going to go into all of the data in the slide. It's certainly available to you, but two things I did want to mention about our HIV testing specifically. One is we do not only intake testing, but also testing at sick call and testing at release, although our release testing is our least productive in terms of numbers. But one of the significant things in DC is that as far as our penetration rate in terms of knowing your status, about 94 to 95% of the District of Columbia Department of Corrections inmates know their HIV status. Even among the 10% who refused the test, either at intake, and we, if they do, we through the sick call process and through our clinics, do attempt to. We do follow up with them and make a second and even third and fourth attempt to offer them the test and give them all the reasons that they should be tested. And even among that group, more than three-fourths of them indicate, and we have just started collecting within the EMRs, actually on our drop-down menu, reasons why they are refusing, and three-quarters of them report that they're refusing because they already are self-reporting, at least, that they know their status or that they have recently been tested. So between the 87% who are actually getting tested at the three spots in DOC, plus those who are refusing but are reporting that they know their status, we are at pretty extraordinarily high levels of knowledge in terms of status. We also are providing a 30-day supply of release medications to all HIV-positive inmates. We get some assistance through the AIDS Drug Assistance Program reimbursement for some of those inmates who are released to the community. We release about 800 a month to the community. All the other inmates, by the way, who were released get a 7-day supply of medications. As far as our specifically our STD data, which I'll get to in a minute, and our condom distribution program, I just want to give you a little background, and because Kate had also given some political background as to how all this got started in the District of Columbia in 1994. It actually began in 1993. The discussion of it began in earnest in 1993. There was a mayoral election in 1993. The first female mayor of the District of Columbia was elected, Sharon Pratt Dixon. She talked about STDs and talked about prevention, and specifically talked about, because simultaneously with, in, as part of that campaign, there was a report that came out about the very high HIV rate in the District of Columbia, a rate that I'm sure many of you know, it remains at an epidemic rate where we have the highest reported rate in America. So those, there was a confluence of those factors you saw in the earlier presentation that coincided with also 1993 was the WHO report came out. So all of those things were happening in that context. Another issue, not necessarily favorable, but it was a reality, is that the D.C. Department of Corrections was under a lot of criticism in terms of public criticism, both from city council and newspapers, et cetera, for a number of adverse incidents occurring in the D.C. jail relative to health care. All of that was happening at the same time, and Sharon Pratt Dixon mentioned when she talked about prevention and HIV and STD, she mentioned specifically that she thought it was something that ought to be done inside the D.C. jail. And nothing happened initially. There was continued discussion about it. There were some news articles about it. There were several advocacy groups who continued to make an issue of it and continue to talk about it and even publish articles and say, well, what's going on with the condom distribution that was mentioned during the campaign. Early 1994, the city council in the District of Columbia actually passed a resolution, and it said that resolve that condoms be distributed in the D.C. jail. And immediately subsequent to that, not immediately, but very soon thereafter, which, by the way, health care at that point was being provided by district employees, not contractors, condoms were distributed as part of the by our healthcare providers. And that has continued to be the case since 1994. So we have been in the condom distribution cycle since for the past 16 years. And that has continued as we have gone through a series of medical providers up to and including Unity. And we have gradually expanded the distribution so that right now under our current system, when you come in as part of the intake process and you're getting, of course, your HIV test, as I mentioned, as part of your intake process and as part of the H&P, when you come upstairs to medical and are actually meeting with the physician, condoms are distributed initially as part of the intake. You then have the offender has additional opportunities to request and be given condoms, both affirmatively and by request as part of the sick call process, as I mentioned, and through our chronic care clinics and our urgent care. And we also have in the DC jail treatment rooms. We have 18 blocks in the DC jail, and each block has a treatment room where actually two. One where we have the electronic medical record, and the other where the physician and the nurse actually render service. And there on the block is yet another opportunity for condoms to be distributed. And in fact, they are distributed again by request and also as part of the conversation with the inmate relative to their treatment regimen. And then again at discharge, every inmate who is a district resident by contract with our provider, Unity Healthcare, is required to have a written discharge plan with a treatment plan, a medical treatment plan, incorporated into the discharge plan. And for those that are not DC residents, the language is every reasonable effort is made to do that. And each inmate at the front end of the process gets a written initial discharge treatment plan, which lists their medications and diagnosis. It's signed by the inmate, it's signed by the physician. It's put in a brown envelope, which we dub the Brownie. It's sealed and it's given to the inmate, and the inmate maintains that throughout their stay and, of course, takes it with them when they leave. Now, of course, when they are formally discharged as part of the formal release process, they receive a packet with their updated discharge plan, as well as a host of information relative to any appointment, medical appointment that has been set up for them while they were incarcerated, where their local health centers are. For those that have diagnosed mental health, of which about 40% of our inmates have some diagnosed mental health condition, a linkage to a community mental health provider. And as part of that package, they have, including the discharge package, is our condoms. And by the way, we also distribute condoms not only to the males, but to the females, as well as dental dams to the females. Department of Health, as you all know, our local health department, all of the reported positives are required to be reported to our local Department of Health. And they provided me for this presentation, actually for the first time, that we're presenting this data, the rates and the numbers, the absolute numbers and percents that have been reported to DOH, both for DC as a whole and for the DC Department of Corrections. And you'll see that in terms, and it actually, as you see, goes back for 5 years. They're about to release the 09 numbers just in a couple of weeks, so I wasn't able, although they've given a preliminary number, I wasn't able to include that here. You'll see that, and of course, you know, I certainly want to emphasize that the District of Columbia is has a incredibly high STD rate overall, many, many times that of the of the national population. Here on this slide, you're seeing for DC as a whole, the absolute number of positive cases for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis from 04, 05, 06, 07, 08, and you'll see, and it's something that's going to be elaborated on in their upcoming update in 2009, that you'll see there has been a very substantial increase in the STD rates, with the even syphilis has experienced an increase. Now these this table here is a head-to-head comparison minus the rates, because DOH is still crunching the numbers on the rates for the Department of Corrections as reported to DOH. But you'll see here the head-to-head DOC absolute numbers and percent for the 5 years between DC and DOC. So you'll get, I think, a pretty good indication of, in terms of occurrence and prevalence, although you don't see the rate here specifically, where the Department of Corrections is in the scheme as far as DC as a whole. And with the interesting, I don't want to call it an anecdote, but even as recently, right just before I came here, actually on a meeting we had on Friday with some, a meeting that the director had, there was a statement made about the DC Department of Corrections, DOC, the DC jail having, you know, being this very, very hotbed of syphilis. And in fact, you'll see from the data as reported, not by the DC, by DOC, but by the DOH, that our syphilis rate prevalence is actually quite modest. I don't know if you have any questions. I guess you may want to wait till the end, Jamie, but I do want to, again, thank you for coming, and I certainly want to acknowledge this opportunity that Jamie provided to us, and an opportunity to share with you, and this really is the first time that we have presented any kind of elaborated discussion of something that we've been doing now going on almost 20 years. Thank you very much.